in this context does not mean the possession of God in the beatific vision. It rather means that the angels fell from sanctifying grace, which gave them a title to heaven. There's only one fear we should have in life. Only one. And that is to lose the grace of God. Nothing else matters. The longer I live, the more I keep telling myself and share with others. Let's wake up. You're going to be here a very, very short time. Only one thing matters. That we preserve our state of grace, so that when our body dies, our souls will be in the state of grace. Otherwise, our souls will go where the fallen angels went when they sinned. Number 11. What then does it mean that some of the angels entered heaven? It means that those angels who cooperate with God's grace merited to see God face to face. You've got to earn heaven. It further means that all the angels were originally on probation. They were in our language, in via, on the way to heaven, as we are. It finally means that those who reached heaven use their free will to cooperate with the will of God. That's the only reason we have a free will, the only reason to do God's will. Well, why then do we have a mind? That's simple. We have a mind to know what is God's will. Find out with our mind, what does God want? Well, the mind says this is what God wants, and with our wills we choose it. That's all there is to life. After 31 years of formal education, graduate degrees, a doctorate in theology, have read by now thousands of books, and have published my share of books too. That's all there is to life. Everything else is a dream. How did some of the angels sin? Am I correct? You have a question. What? Question?
12, Father.
12?
Only 12.
It's our last question. The church's tradition tells us they sinned by pride and envy. Could the angels sin against the virtue of chastity?
No.
Obviously. No. They had no long pause, no body. And let me tell you, before we go on, the more gifted a person is, the more tempted that person is to pride. And the less gifted a person is, the more that person is tempted to envy. This was the primary sin of the angels, combination of proud envy or envious pride. It was a sin of a spiritual being. The angels have no bodies. The angels sin because they refuse to serve God as their creator. Like our abortionists today, they believed in choice. They thought they had a right to be wrong. Am I clear? And Lucifer was, as faith tells us, the one who organized these angels. However, the angels also sinned by envy. They coveted. Another word for envy. Covetousness is habitual envy. They coveted the divine excellence. We may also say they envied human beings who, they were already told, would also reach heavenly beatitude. As I've said more than once, fathers of the church tell us, God created as many human beings, pardon me, God will create until the end of time as many human beings as there were angels who sinned and went to hell. The more I know my faith, the more I can't believe what I'm seeing or hearing. People so oblivious of a life after death, as though this is the only life we've got to live for. My God, if there is a definition of madness, that's it. Rather than using this life as a means to reach the life to come. You know, can I have some questions? Thank you. If there are any more, please turn them in. Please, I ask you to write big, and printing is more legible than writing. What is the church's position on the writings of your fellow Jesuit, Anthony DeMello? Well, I knew Anthony DeMello while he was still living. I cannot, in conscience, recommend DeMello's writings. He has borrowed so heavily from especially Hinduism and Buddhism, and what's left is some dribblings of Christianity. How does the Catholic Church view ghosts, haunted houses? Well, the very word ghost has become almost a joke in the English language. People seeing ghosts, they need psychiatric help. But taking the literal meaning of a ghost, in other words, a spiritual being somehow manifesting himself externally. The word ghost in Catholic theology can be one of, well, four different persons. It can be either the devil or the good angel, or it can be a disembodied human spirit which is saved, but say in purgatory or even in heaven, and it can be a human person who has died and is now from hell. So four options. And then haunted houses. Same thing. I think as Detroit, I'm never sure what city I see things in. But I think it's either along 6 Mile or 6, 7, or 8 Mile Road, there's, I think, a tavern called the Haunted House, which, well, is a joke. Question: can houses be haunted? Emphatically. The house of the Curia of Ars, St. John Vianney, was haunted. We'll come to that when we look at the work of the evil spirit. That's a form of obsession. And the devil is not directly entering a person's soul, but somehow causes difficulty. For example, anything fragile, broken, or all of a sudden, every cloth in the house torn to shreds, or noises. Any kind of physical way of which the devil can disturb the peace of the inhabitants of that house. Of course, the church never uses the word haunted because she believes in the devil. Did Christ's passion and death open heaven for the angels, or were they already saved? A good question. The church's official teaching is that Christ did not die on the cross to save the angels. On the other hand, we may say that Christ's life and death, and therefore the grace that he won, also benefited the angels. But Christ's passion, was it for the angels? No, in strict theological language, Christ died in order to save the human race. In other words, we say that the angels, unlike us, did not have a redemption. Please repeat what you said. Sums up all you learned. It is something about our free will uniting with God's will. We are created with two powers, the mind and the will, unlike the rest of the animal world. We have a mind and a will. We have a mind for one final purpose, to know what does God want me to do. And we have a will, once the mind enlightens us, to choose what our mind tells us is God's will. Period. Close the book. You can spare yourself reading the 1 million volumes, say, in the Detroit Main Public Library. What is centering prayer? Is it Catholic or is it Eastern non-Catholic? It is Eastern non-Catholic. It is not Catholic. I repeat, centering prayer is not Catholic. Well, by now, as you know, being promoted, written about, practiced by all kinds of people call themselves Catholics, priests, courses in centering prayer. And the problem with centering prayer, I could talk for hours on the subject. The problem with centering prayer being borrowed from the non-Christian Oriental religions is what you mean by center. In the philosophy of Oriental thought, I say philosophy, the run-of-the-mill people, well, they don't know much about this, the millions, say in India, but the more learned people who still want to hold on to either Hinduism especially and Buddhism, they say when we pray, we are addressing ourselves to the center of our being. Well, then the big question, is that center of our being, is that we, or is it a being who is totally distinct from us. Otherwise, no one is God. Thomas Merton was seduced by centering prayer. In his writings, many of which have never been published until after his death, as Zaba told me, Merton never really distinguished between what's the center of our being. Is it me? Is it my being? Or is it the infinite God? And in Eastern religions, the center of being is not a God who is distinct from me. Over the years in teaching, Oriental religion, teaching missionaries from the Orient, from Asia, writing their theses on this subject. They better get it clear. Because Oriental religions, the center of our being is not a being who is distinct from us. The Atman, or the Self, is Brahman, which we may, or they wouldn't, translate as God. Which printing of the Deuterium's translation of the Bible is best to get? Well, I would say the one which is most, well, intelligible English. Now, the translation put out by the Cathay Publishing Company in New York, based on the Convert Trinity translation of the Deuterium, I consider the most up to date. What is your opinion of Dr. Van Agyasimpi now making ideas using Pope John Paul and Catholic writers as authority for claiming that Jesus is returning soon? Also, is it Van Impe, a fallen away Catholic? I'm sorry, I don't know the man, except having now seen the name. But this gentleman is dead wrong. Jesus is not returning soon as they understand returning. Christ is constantly returning. My gosh, we had Mass, didn't we? And Jesus came into our bodies. And by Christ returning soon, they mean, presume they do mean, the early end of the world. They are dead wrong. There are prayer cards for Bishop Mingling. May they be distributed? Well, I would like to see one of the cards. I mean, just for more than just curiosity. By all means, please, please pray for my good friend, Bishop Mingling. Our parish priest started a tape lending library with a number of copies related to the Enneagram. What is it, and is it okay? It is not okay. Enneagram is a borrowing from Islam. I do not recommend it. Prayer for a bishop. You have chosen your servant Carl to be a shepherd of your flock in the tradition of the apostles. Give him a spirit of courage and right judgment, a spirit of knowledge and love, by governing with fidelity those entrusted to his care. May he build your church as a sign of salvation for the world. We ask this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Looks good to me. However, there's no ecclesiastical approval. It may be borrowed from already a prayer for a bishop. Who knows?
Mass for a bishop in the sacramentary.
Okay, so it's okay. Okay, you just put the name Carl in. It is okay. Mm-hmm. my wife and I are in our late 30s. We were married in August and are expecting a child in July. We want to do God's will and have as many children as God will give us. However, my wife has arthritis, lower back, and at times this pregnancy had been very painful for her. I don't want to harm her permanently, but neither do we want to artificially limit the number of children we have. What do you suggest we do? Have all the children you can get and pray that your wife will be patient and enduring the pain. And I will save this and help with my prayers. Have all the children. Don't worry about the pain. I heard that the famous line in John Kennedy's inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country," was actually spoken by a Catholic priest years before that. Is this true? If it is, do you know the name of the priest? No. Somebody would know. I'd appreciate it letting all of us know now, or let me know, and we will announce later on. I'd like to get some information on local homeschooling groups or organizations. Can anyone help me? Okay, so be sure that you are identify yourself and want to ask the question. Look at the raised hands and please consult. Okay. With all due respect, we all agree that the laity needs to do more. But with bishops like Bishop Muttner in power, it is very difficult. Why doesn't the Holy See retire the good bishop? This would help the laity in their apostolate. Well, knowing Bishop Hunter personally, and he sure knows me, God is allowing us to, well, gain more merit. So, by the way, Holy Father is doing all that he can, on the other hand, and even after a man is appointed bishop, if he had a very good record beforehand, once he becomes bishop, it goes to his head. What is the present status of the four bishops consecrated by Archbishop Lefebvre? Are they excommunicated? Yes. What is the church's position on attending and participating in the life in the Lefebvre Mass? Are participants automatically excommunicated? No. In case of necessity, a Catholic may attend any valid Mass. Am I clear? But there should be a real necessity. Third, are Lefebvre and his followers declared schismatic by the Church? Well, certainly the movement is schismatic. However, I would say the guilt for God depends on how well they know and realize that what they're doing is contrary to the mind of Christ. What do you know of a new Mass liturgy now in preparation that will among other things, omit the Gloria and the Credo? Well, I have not heard about it, but that's absolutely wrong. tomorrow, our parish, RCI instructors will tell the candidates that contraception is up, I guess is okay, to their own consciences. Any suggestion on how I should respond? Well, first of all, I would say respond. First, respond. Secondly, don't hesitate using my name. If you need some literature, I'm very happy to provide you with some information. Tony Carlos Sanchez in Rome, me in Detroit. Father, would you please, in your next issue of the Catholic Make Faith magazine, have a strong article defending the Church's teaching on contraception. So I have material. If you want more material, I can get it for you. Tell them it's a sin. It's a grave sin forbidden by the Catholic Church. And don't say, well, we're following our conscience. Conscience is the mind passing judgment on moral matters. As Catholics, our minds are to be enlightened and instructed by the Church that Christ founded. As, or is the Greek Orthodox Church in circulation with the West and the Vatican? And can they receive the sacraments in the Catholic Church as well? For example, Vasula writing, you know, Vasula was just recently condemned by the Holy See, and she had free reign here in Michigan. Remember?
Yeah.
Spoke all over. She is a very dangerous person. But back to the original question, the Orthodox do have, they have seven sacraments, and the Catholic Church recognizes those seven sacraments as valid. May an Orthodox receive communion. Receive communion in the Catholic Church? Yes. Should an Orthodox receive absolution in a Catholic Church? In case of a necessity, yes. However, and this is where many Orthodox, how well I know them, don't realize exactly what the position of their church is. The church as church, led by their bishops, is in schism, separated from Rome. A priest friend said that we should pray to Saint Joseph about bad bishops. He is the patron of a happy death. And I'm being taped. By all means, pray to Saint Joseph for the bishops, but don't put it this bluntly. What is the Taizé service in the Catholic Church? Taizé, as you may know, is an organization started in France by a man who never really became a Catholic, but has been one of the leaders of the ecumenical movement. So the Taizé movement, I'm sure, has helped some people, but Taizé is not in union with Rome. How long does the soul, spirit, stay with the body after death?
Can I have that one back? The one I just gave you, the yellow piece of paper, can I have that back? That's for me, not for you. Is it front right there?
You know, one thing we should say, since the culture of death has developed in our country, the whole medical profession now, in all 50 states, now has a legal definition of death. They determine when a person dies. However, since they want to transplant vital organs that would be needed to keep the person alive, the obvious temptation is to declare legal death, brain death, whatever name you give it, before the soul leaves the body. I think I've said in a previous class that we now have a record of a person being still alive 8 hours after everything stopped, beating the heart, breathing, the blood circulating. Remember? So, the soul leaves the body only when there is actual death. Now, the actual death then brings on the disintegration of the body. When the body begins to disintegrate, that then we have real death. But I repeat, the medical profession now is very anxious, to put it mildly, to declare when a person is dead, to make sure they can then use the vital organs for transplant. Did you ever read Ralph Martin's book, The Church and the End of the Age? And what is the Spirit saying? What is your opinion of it? Well, I have both books. In fact, the last one, What is the Spirit Saying? I have a copy from Ralph, nicely endorsed with greetings and the promise of prayers from Father Harvey. We met together in Washington all day 2 weeks ago. I must say, I have not read either book except to look at them to tell you. But if somebody would remind me, I'll read both books, hopefully enough, my next class, to give you my honest opinion. Thanks for the question. Why does it take so long for the Catholic Church to declare a person a saint? How long does it usually take? Well, it depends on how holy a person was. Some saints, first of all, for the first 1,000 years, no saint was canonized. St. Augustine was never canonized. St. Ambrose. All those great saints of the early church. Since the year 1000, there have been formal canonizations. It takes so long for 2 reasons. One, to examine the virtue of the person who was considered to be a saint. The process can take years. And of course, the longer you wait, harder it is to get testimony to that person's sanctity. There must first then be a declaration of heroic virtue. And secondly, even after a person, like for example, Father Casey, I understand he has already been declared a venerable. Am I correct?
Yes.
That he practiced heroic virtue. That's step number one. That's only step number one. Now, Father Casey needs miracles. And after some authenticated miracles have been performed through the intercession of a venerable, then the church decides whether that person should be beatified. Stage number two. Beatification is not enough. Now, more miracles. So, it takes so long, first to investigate the person's virtue, secondly, to get the necessary to get the necessary miracles. When you speak of us working in the lay apostolate, do you mean in an organization, group, or on our own? Well, it could be on your own too, but I repeat what the Holy See has told me, to form an organization. We couldn't give it, might say, a bigger name, international, no less, Association of Catholic Catechists. Now, this will be up to the bishops, but also up to the Holy See, because there are organizations in existence that could do this catechetical work. Something has to be done. We are losing, I'm not exaggerating, millions of Catholics for their ignorance of the faith. So both. Do our guardian angels live within our souls or outside of us, or both? Can we not invite them and have them dwell in our minds and heart where the Lord is? Well, you're already there. When you talk about the Spirit, you don't exactly talk about place inside of a cup. To answer the question directly, I would say our guardian angel, to use that language, is in both places, both within us and outside of us. But see, the guardian angel, all kinds of ways in which he is both guiding and guarding us. For example, you're in a library, you're looking for a good book. Believe me, your guardian angel is right there. And what book you've been looking for, you can't find it. Oh no, I want to read that book. The guardian angel knows that would be a good book for you. So, all kinds of ways in which you will direct both your body and your mind. Oh, he is smart. Why are the cults and Protestants so much more zealous than we Catholics? Good question. I think there are at least two reasons. One reason is the misunderstanding of Catholics about the lay apostolate, as we've had a whole course on the subject. One of the major, and I mean major, changes introduced by the Second Vatican Council is on the meaning of what we used to call Catholic action. Until Vatican II, the only lay apostolate in which the laity could engage was one which was either initiated by the hierarchy or was controlled by the hierarchy. Vatican II changed that. It kept the first two, but it added a third. And this is a lay apostolate in any diocese in the world, or covering many dioceses, which is, and that's the verb, allowed, permitted by the bishop of the diocese. Moreover, one more big shift. The Holy See makes clear, I personally listened to the Holy Father Pius XII in Rome saying this. You speak by the hierarchy. Hierarchy this, hierarchy that. Let me tell you, the principal hierarchy is the Vicar of Christ. And therefore, by the way, that's what I'm doing. Holy See tells me to do things, and well, to the best of my ability, I try to do them. I don't have to be clearing with see the chancery for doing things. So in other words, being allowed in a diocese is enough for the lay apostolate. And secondly, there is lay apostolic work, which is under the Holy See. And the two organizations of lay people that I have started, Marian Catechist for women, Ignatian Catechist for men, are both, finally, under the guidance of the Holy See. So, that's one reason. In other words, Catholics have felt, gosh, we cannot take the initiative. See, the Protestants don't have to appeal to any authority, right? Second reason, I think, however, is this. There is such a thing as being comfortable with, how shall I say it, without sounding strange. I've got the true faith. I'm safe. It is, shall I say, the comfort and convenience of being rich. They are wealthy. Do you know that? We've got the truth. And our tendency is to, well, who does most of the charitable work in the world? The multimillionaires? They wouldn't stay multimillionaires very long if they practiced the charity which the world needs, right? I could say more. Well, my clock says 4:15. As I said, over the years, next couple of years, I will try to finish these and maybe 10 minutes, whatever. Anyone wish to leave, you are welcome, of course. Questions from a 15-year-old student at a Catholic high school. Was the Catholic Church Catholic from when Peter started it? Sure. Catholic in two senses. Catholic means universal. Universal in intent and universal from the very beginning to bring those who are not in the church into the church. When did the, quote, other Christian churches begin? From the first century. In other words, they broke with the Catholic Church for many reasons, but hear it. The single principal reason why there have been so many breaks in Catholic unity has been the virtue of chastity. And especially marital chastity, remaining faithful to one's spouse. That's the reason why Protestant began. Right, people wanted to divorce and remarry. Remember what happened in England when the king himself wanted to discard his wife Catherine and marry his mistress, Anne Boleyn. Anne told Henry, no more sex unless I become queen. And of course, the consequences were horrendous. The Pope said, forget it. Third, Mrs. Hagedorn said that other churches started at the same time and that the Catholic Church was not started until the 3rd century AD. Well, my heart goes out to ignorant people. The devil, you remember, was a liar from the beginning. Been lying ever since. The Catholic Church began the moment Christ died on the cross. Was the Catholic Church the only Christian church until others split off? See, thanks for the question, except for the verb was. Is the Catholic Church the only truly Christian church? Where does it break off? That's their problem. So, yes, there was, is, and will be only one fully, truly Christian church, otherwise known as the Catholic Church.